This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So there are a few points I would mention, inshallah, to discuss this particular matter. One of my clear objectives in life and hope is that I want to write a book. The book could be entitled Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet of Creativity. The Prophet of Creativity. And I'm sure, and I want you to think about this, I'm sure when you reflect on the seerah, when you look at the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, did he display creativity? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
He did, right? Now give me about 4 or 5 examples of his creativity. Why I'm saying that to you? Because you got to understand, and I say this to all of you, one of the most critical things for any person, being a teacher, being involved in any other organization, the skill that is necessary is being creative. Because a creative person is solution driven. A creative person is a person that thinks outside the box. A creative person is a person that gives people hope. A creative person does not give up, right? So, give me 3 or 4 examples very quickly of his creativity.
Brotherhood in Islam. Brotherhood. When he entered Medina, the first thing he created is what? Brotherhood. For Mecca and Medina, brothers and sisters in Islam.
Right? Yes.
I think this happened even before he became a prophet. The Kaaba was rebuilt, and there was a serious problem among the tribal chiefs as to who would place or replace the Hajar al-Aswad. And it was he who was called upon, and the creativity that he used there was he put the Hajar al-Aswad on his cloth that he wears, and made all the leaders to move or take the stone from where it was to where it is to be placed on. And he himself now picked it and placed it in his place.
Exactly. Yeah, so there are many examples, right? The Battle of Kanka is another example, isn't it? And remember this, no matter what faith, what background you come from, creativity is a very significant thing, very, very critical thing. Just through show of hands, how many of you are teachers? Teachers, put your hands up. You are teachers. Or most of you are teachers. Right? Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. Now you must understand, is the world the same or the world has changed a lot? It's changed a lot, isn't it? Right? Now, some of us, sadly, I'm not talking about you, and I love you for the sake of Allah, right? I love all of you. See all of you. I like it.
I like it.
I like it too. Awesome. Like, you know, and I call my wife there Shushu Bobolina. What I call her?
Shushu Bobolina.
How many of you are married? But why are you looking so depressed, brother? You supposed to be happy, right? Okay. Now, you got to understand that we are teaching at a time where there are rapid changes going along, where the life role of children has changed radically, where the father and mother are no more the moral authority. We are teaching at a time where the ummah is bleeding, where humanity itself is bleeding. So what you need is an educator, a person that is dynamic, a person that is inspirational, where children look up to you and say, I want to be like this teacher. A teacher who's well prepared, who makes my lessons relevant. He's teaching me for a world that I have no idea what it's going to be like in the future. He's giving me life skills. You understand? He's teaching me about life and about living. He's unleashing my potential. He's giving me self-belief. He's teaching me about emotional intelligence, the dynamic relationships that I'm going to be exposed to. I want to be like him. And remember this, each of the points I made, I could talk about it for hours. So I have no doubt you'll be able to tweak it, elaborate upon it. A very important thing is this. These students do not like teachers that are predictable. You know, when you're predictable, they say, oh no, it's the first day of school, I know what he's going to do. Right, tomorrow is, you know what I'm saying to you? Then you have lost it. Now, there's a difference about not being predictable, but being reliable. I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying, that you mustn't be so unpredictable, they're not too sure whether you'll come to school tomorrow. It's another matter. Now, I'm going to just share something with you. There are three fundamental things a teacher must have, any person, even a person that is speaking. Three things. The Greeks speak about ethos, logos, and pathos. Ethos is, now who are you? What credibility do you have? Why should I listen to you? Why should I listen to you? Why should I believe you? Why? And they learn that you're a person of character. When they learn, you write books. When they learn, you make a contribution to society. They say, hey, hey, he is an authority. I must listen to him. Yes or no? Right? Now, for example, I say this here, not because I'll be signing an autograph or whatever. Right? For example, I've conducted workshops in 30 countries. 30 countries. Right? So when I say that, I'm an author. Right? I produce CDs. I have my own television program. See, he was someone I must listen to. Yes or no? Agreed? Right. So the first thing is that ethos. Right? The next thing is this, that when you are presenting things to the students, they look at, hey, my teacher is presenting these facts in a unique way. He has researched it. He has thought about it. He is presenting it in a beautiful way. He's sharing some things that I've never come across before. He's thought about it. He's connecting it to my world, as it were. Right? Okay. That's the logos. And the pathos is the most important thing. They say a true speaker, a public speaker, is able to connect with the hearts of people. You understand? With the hearts. It's an emotional connection. And how do you do it? Through storytelling. Through story, sharing anecdotes, right? Making things alive, and also learning the art of a storyteller. Using your senses, not saying one day, but saying in the cold winter's morning at 9 o'clock. The sky was grey. A handsome man with a black beret. Hey, of course, you don't disagree. You're shaking your head, brother. I'm handsome, right? Okay, you know what I'm saying? Able to do that, right? To stimulate the mind. You understand? Now, this is a very important aspect. And a true educator, a dynamic educator, is a person that is able to motivate, who will not blame society or the home for the kids, but be able to connect to the hearts and say to them, come on, right? They say a teacher is not a sage on the stage, but a guide on the side. The greatest impact you have on students is what you speak to them on a one-to-one basis. Right? Now, I'll just share two stories with you, right, in my own life. Now, I want you to think about your own teachers. Are you thinking about your own teachers? Hey, how many of you have had a favorite teacher? Put your hands up, I'm sure. You had a favorite teacher? You did? Hey, some of you didn't put your hands up. You either don't understand English, or you never had a teacher. Or you were self-taught. That when you were born, the nurse said at the maternity ward, PhD student. Now, I want to ask you this, right? Now, I want you to think about it, right? Now, tell me, what do you remember about this teacher, your favorite teacher? What do you remember? Right? You know, I'm walking up and down. You know why I'm walking up and down? Why? Can anyone tell me why? Yes, sorry. Why do you think I'm walking up and down?
Not
besides that, My wife said I must give a moving talk. So I'm moving. Right. Okay, you know that. But you're right, connection. Okay, right. Okay, now. Okay, think about it. Give me. Tell me about your favorite teacher. Come on. Come on. You're looking so depressed, like I'm in a funeral, really. You know, people ask me, I travel throughout the world, where do I like to speak to? I say, I like to speak to Nigerians. You know why? They're animated, they give you feedback. I look at your faces here, some of you are looking very, very serious. Your voice, some of you are even looking constipated. You're looking very depressed, like mad, angry. What am I doing here? Right. Smile is a sadhaka. Come on, all of you smile. Smile. Smile, smile, smile. Ah, so nice. Hey. Look at each other and smile. Look at each other and smile. Ah, so nice. Hey, look at each other. And then tell your friend next door, if you don't have a friend, speak to your split personality. Tell your friend, I like it.
I like it.
You say, I love it.
I love it.
Yes, yes. Right. Now, so just give me some feedback about your favorite teacher. Shake your head.
In secondary school, my favorite teacher was my chemistry teacher. And it was because if I didn't understand anything, she would actually call me, sit me down, and explain it to me one-on-one. And I remember a time when we were all late, not all, but a group of us were all late, and she told all of us to just kneel down, and we all knelt down, and everybody wanted to give an excuse why they were late, and she said, I don't want to listen to anybody. I put my hand up that I had something to say, and she said, okay, you speak. And I gave my reason, and she said, okay, you can go to the class. And later she said, it's because I trust you, and I believe you would not be late for my class without a good reason. And I never forgot.
Yes, sir. Please. I'm sure you have a favorite teacher. Come on, man. Unless you're forgotten now, you know? Maybe you were in school in 1840-something, you know? And you can't remember. You know, you can forget sometimes, right? You can forget sometimes, right? Come on, just tell me. Come on, please.
Yes. Yes. My favorite teacher was my French teacher when I was in grade 9.
Right.
Before that, I hated French. But this teacher came back from France. I would say fresh from France. And when he comes to the class, he would tap, touch me, and look me in the eye, and call my name, and smile. And I'm like, wow. And that really, like the fact that he was interested in me, he would call me my name, he would ask, how are you today? You know, like, I took exception to that, and because of that, he became my favorite teacher and my favorite subject.
Very good, guys. Yeah, come on, sisters, please. Come on, come on, come on. If you think suddenly I become your favorite teacher, say it to me, Shah, you know. You know what I mean? Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't, you know what I mean? Let yourself go. Let it all come out. Right.
Okay. My name is Timo. I had a couple of favorites. I don't know which to choose as the most favorite. Starting from primary school, secondary. But I had one lecturer at the university. His name is Professor Vijay Rufiago. He was a very good man, an elderly man. And because of, you know, the dichotomy between students, and you can't even approach some doctors to explain some things to you. But this man was always there for us. He's principled, but he's always there for us to guide us through. And luckily for me, as a broke chap, then I was just praying I was assigned to him as a project student. And luckily, I happened to be his project student. So this man, despite he was going on the sabbatical, he actually catered for us, asked us to come to his home, and even prepared for us breakfast, lunch, as the case may be, when we arrived at his home. And I'm just surprised as at his willingness to show us and guide us through, despite we are on a very wide level, and the gap is too is so much. And right from even from today, I'm still looking for a day to visit him and say thank you very much.
Right, okay, right. Anyone else? Come on, just two more quickly. Two more. Sisters, come on. Yes.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Yes, talking about my favorite teacher. It's a thing that I mostly think of all the way in my life. And whenever I meet a Google, I think I should be like him. I happen to be a very slow learner up to my primary form. As a primary form, I had one break. My primary form teacher was Mr. Moses. He, at the end of that session, I repeated that class. On my result, it was written to repeat. To be repeated, that was it. So, when we go to primary five, or resumption, I was asked to go to primary four. I said, no. I forgot it. And my favorite teacher is Mr. Lowell. He said, after the leave, did you promote? I said, yes, I promoted, sir. He said, where is your result? I went home. You remember this McLean? McLean made of white. I said, McLean, but it's white. What I did was, I looked at that result. I said, truly, I don't want to be a primary school. I carried the white McLean I removed the B and I left it to be promoted. When I took it to Mr. Lawal, he looked at the result. He said, I'm going to tell you. You mean you promoted? I looked down. I didn't look at him in the face. I actually looked down. He said, no problem. B in my class. Truly, Mr. Lawal, before the end of first term, I could before the end of second term, I put one of the best people in that school. At the end of Totem Primary 5, I wrote entrance exam that I was one of the best people in the whole of the department. Truly, I need to remember this. And not long when I lost my mom, April last year, I met him. I said, sir, as if you see with the whole of my heart, how I really appreciated him. He was like, I cannot remember you. I said, sir, I am narrated to him. He nearly shed tears. I said, and I need to remember you. Because that was my turning point. I became so very brilliant that people were so surprised about my abilities.
Okay, right. Now, you know, I must tell you this, right? There are a lot of things I want to talk about. I ask this question throughout the world. Very few people, if any, tell me they liked the teacher because he was hardworking. They say we liked him because he had a sense of humor. He made it meaningful. He cared about us. He walked the proverbial extra mile. He gave us hope. You understand? He made lessons relevant. They were meaningful. They facilitated our maturity. They were compassionate. They were caring. They gave us self-belief. You know what I'm saying to you? Now, I'll just share with you two incidents. Like when I was at school, I was a very naughty boy. What was I?
Naughty.
Say naughty, naughty, naughty.
Naughty.
Don't come on, Lufiana, be shy, don't be shy. Say naughty, naughty, naughty.
Naughty.
Yeah. Say, well, come on, lift your hands up and say properly. Come on, say naughty, naughty, naughty.
Naughty.
Yes, I was a naughty boy. So now, two things happened. When I was in standard 10, matric, right? We had a maths teacher. He was mad with me. I had the lowest in class. How much? 4 out of 50 for the first control test after the first term. How much I had?
4.
I got 4 out of 50 because I had no marks on my sheet and I had my name correctly spelt, I think. They gave me 4 marks. He said to me, Kamisa, I'm mad with you. I'm taking you to the office to see the headmaster. I said, please, don't do this to me. He said, don't make funny faces here. I'm thinking, don't do this to me. So anyway, he took me down. Now I wanted to escape the wrath of the headmaster. The headmaster and I, the headmaster was a mess teacher himself. So I went there to the, I told the headmaster, I said, excuse me, sir, how I hope you were my teacher. How I hope you were my teacher. I would have done far better. You, sir, you should have been my teacher. So he told the teacher, you see, this boy is interested. Maybe you need to look at the way you are teaching. Right. So anyway, now I'm walking. Now I'm walking back to the class. I'm walking back to the class. And outside the class, this teacher tells me, Idris. And this little conversation outside the class had a great impact. He said, Idris, you are the brightest boy in this class. I said, you mean it? He says, yes. If that student who gets 90% tells me he cannot understand, I'll believe him, but not you. He said, you mean it, sir? He said, I can do it. That was a tipping point for me. That conversation. The other one was, there is a teacher, Ismail Katrada. He has been here too, I think. Ismail Katrada. So he has been an inspiration. Now, when I was in grade 10, when I'm about 14 years old, I had a teacher of English. He used to read my essays, you know, the mistakes in the class, he used to laugh, you know. And I used to laugh too. So funny, sir. And I could not complain to my father, because my father said to the teacher, the flesh is yours, the bones are mine. Yes, and I thought honestly, my father was giving them kurbani meat without the bones in my naivety. Anyway, I could not complain. The next year, I was sitting at the back of the class and had a new teacher, Smail Kantrada. And I was convinced that I am not a student of English, you understand? I was convinced, the class is to laugh. So, next to me, we are doing a poem called God's Grandeur. What was it called? And next to me was God's grandeur. Her name was Indira. Beautiful girl. So I was taking a vital signs. You see, she's alive and well, you know. And I was pinching her cheeks, pulling her hair, in case she died. Her father said to me, my daughter was next to you. Didn't you not know? So I was pulling her hair, you know, doing all these things. The teacher noticed I'm not paying attention. Then he said to me, Idris, you're a naughty boy. I said, no. He said to me, I am not leaving the class until you give me your interpretation of the last two lines of the poem. And you know me. If you do not give me your interpretation, I will give you the cold shoulder. Do you want the cold shoulder from me? I said, no, please, no. So I gave an answer to get him off my back. He said to the class, and he said to me, that's the most brilliant answer he ever heard in his life. And he told me, Idris, please repeat what you said. Pupils take it down. Then he told me, Idris, you see, you have the ability. Give yourself a chance. He went next door class when my cousin was there. He said to the class, this interpretation is from Idris. That was a tipping point. From that day onwards, I began to read voraciously. I took part. I did things. I became more confident as a speaker. 9 years later, I became the chairman of the English Society of South Africa. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, please, yeah. Right. So I know what it is. Now, it's very important. You see, you must understand this. In a study that was done to test creativity, right, kids between the ages of 3 and 5 were tested. 85% tested creative geniuses. 85%. The same children who went through the school life, when they were at around 13 to 15 years old, the percentage, the same children, went down to 32%. So what they've concluded, that the homes and the schools kill creativity. When someone tells me that he is a creative teacher, I have a problem. I said, the fact that you are teaching means you are creative. Creativity is not something you add or an embellishment or an addendum is something that's part of you. Part of you will say, this is the material. How can I convey it in a creative way? In a way that is exciting, stimulating. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's very, very important. I want you to understand. You've got to be creative. And there's no such thing as, oh, my subject, I cannot be creative. Remember, the only limiting factor in a child's growth is not his IQ, but it's the teacher. It's the teacher. You understand what I'm saying? You understand all of you? You understand? Right? So you've got to be very creative, right? Now, the other aspect I'll just speak about very, very quickly, right? Is this, I want to ask you this question. And something that I used to try to do. Whenever I was in a class, I regard teachers as edutainers. Edu, not entertainers, edutainers. Right? Right. You cannot come there, for example, in a study that was done, in another study that was done. In this study, they want to know how students learn. Again, students learn. Lecture method, 15% through reading, 30% by group presentation, 50% by group discussion, 75% by doing it, 95% by teaching it to others. You saw that? And then I said, if it is true, how did the Sahaba learn? When they learned anything, they internalized it, they practiced it, and they taught it to other people. Yes or no?
Yes.
Right. Now, I want to ask you, to raise your hands. Do you think your lessons are relevant to children? Yes or no? Put your hands up if it's relevant. Do you think when they listen to you, you're giving them an understanding of the world around them? Put your hands up. That when you teach them, you are able to unleash the potential. Put your hands up. You are doing that. Inshallah. I'm going to stop for a few minutes. Are there any questions before I continue? Any questions? Please. Don't go to the car park and say, you know, it's what I want to ask him. I don't know. Right? Come on. Any questions, please? No questions. Okay, there are no questions, I'll continue. Now remember this. What do you think should be some attributes every teacher should have? What are some attributes you think they should have? Some qualities they should have. Come on, speak. Right. Okay, do this, right? Yes, my friend.
He or she must be approachable.
Very good. They must be approachable. Very good. I like it. Yes.
They must have empathy.
They must have empathy. Yes. Yes, yes.
They must be patient.
Must be patient. Yes.
A teacher should be motivational.
Teacher must be motivational. Yes, yes, I like it. Next, come on, come on. Sisters, where are you, my sisters? I don't hear your voices.
A teacher must be very patient.
Patient, okay, the brother said
that. Copy, right,
okay. All is copy, right. Right, next. Yes, come on, yes.
Be a role model.
Must be a role model, yes.
Must be dynamic.
Must be dynamic, yes. Come on, come on. Yes. You don't mind me. I've been running for a long time. At my age of 55,
a mentor.
Must be a mentor. Not a tormentor, a mentor. Yes, right. Okay. Yes, one more there, sister. Yes.
He should be a master of his subject.
Master of his subject.
Flexible.
Flexible. Flexible. Okay, yes.
A teacher must be disciplined.
Must be disciplined, right, yes.
A teacher must be proactive and time conscious.
But the proactive side point is this: a teacher should be able to go around his class talking.
The list is very important.
A teacher must be creative. A teacher must understand the experiential world of children. He must know them. He must understand that each child is unique. That when you are teaching, each child must say it was as if he was talking to me. When our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke, he knew each of the psyche of each individual, yes or no? And was our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam predictable? No. How often when he gathered them together, he asked them 3 times, do you know why I brought you here today? Do you know? And when he asked a question, he waited. Why did he wait? Because he wants your mind to get active. When he asked the question, rhetorical questions. Right? And remember this, right? A teacher must pursue excellence. A teacher must have an understanding of himself, must understand the psychology of learning, you understand? Must be a team player. He must have a relationship with Allah. He must know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Know all the prophets, no matter what your faith is. You understand that even in your silences you are eloquent. Even in your silences you are eloquent. So this is the noblest profession, but the most demanding profession. They say a teacher never knows where his influence can stop. It can affect the destiny of the child. Look at it. It can even affect the destiny of the child. The other thing is this, we teach who we are. Powerful, isn't it? We teach who we are. Okay? So if you want to have an impact, do tazkiyah, do self-reformation. Change yourself, hey, and you'll inspire. Understand? Right? So these are very important qualities that you need to possess, inshallah. He said, okay. Right. Now, the next thing is this, that when you belong to any institution, be it dawah or the school, you must have a vision. You must have a vision. Right? Why is it important to have a vision? Why? Why? Yes.
It enables one to focus regardless of the distractions and challenges that come one's way.
Yes. Gives you focus, isn't it? Then you see every day a little step, towards that vision, yes?
The main reason of having a vision is to achieve your goals and objectives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now you find great teachers are not hidebound by a textbook. Hey, textbook. Many teachers look at the textbook as a source of all the knowledge. No. A great teacher is able to inspire learners to do, amongst other things, to understand the textbook. You understand? Right. What else? Come on. Why should we have a vision?
You have a vision in order to set direction for your life.
Yes, gives you some direction. Okay? Right. What, anyone else? Right. Now, the next thing, yes.
So that other people don't help you to manage your time and life.
So that other people don't help you to manage your time and life. They don't take you as a commodity to fill their own time and life.
You must make sure you utilize it properly, right?
Yes.
Right. What else? Yes, what, anyone else? So it's very, very important. You cannot thank God Almighty for the fact that you belong to this profession. Because you can have a profound impact in changing kids, giving them hope, giving them self-belief, saying you can do it, you must do it. Right. Now, what is more important? Encouragement or praise? Should you encourage your children or praise them? What should you do? What's more important? Encouragement. Remember this. There was a study that was done with two classes. They wrote a test. What did they write? What did they write? Yes, you make sure you are listening. Right? They wrote a test. Okay. Then what happened? Both the class did just as well. So the teacher, one teacher was told, you praise your class. You know, they told them, you're like geniuses. You're so bright. You know what I mean? And the other teacher was told, I want you to encourage the kids. He says, guys, you know what? Hey, guys, we all did well, right? But let's see what we can do to keep on improving and do better. He told them. Okay. Then they brought all the students together. Then they asked them, now, we are going to write another test, which is more difficult than this test. How many of you want to write? Those children that were praised did not want to write. Why? Because you put them up there in the sky, isn't it? The bubble is going to burst. But those children that were encouraged, what did they do? They wanted to participate. Very important. And as a teacher, you've got to be aware, you've got to be vigilant. The dua that I make when I walk into a class, the prayer, I say, oh God Almighty, show me the unhappy child. I want to see the unhappy child. And a true test of a great teacher is when his students share the fears and the doubts. A great teacher is able to respond to the fears and the doubts. You understand? When they ask questions. Now, there was one person who won the Nobel Prize for physics, I think it was. Then they asked him, they interviewed him, to what do you attribute your success? He never said my teachers. He said my mother. They got a shock. Your mother? How come? He said because many mothers ask the children, what did you learn today? But my mother had a different question for me. She used to ask me, what good question did I ask today? That created me a spirit of inquiry. So in your class, when your students ask you questions, it's great. As Umar said, 50% of knowledge comes from good questions. Your children must learn to ask questions. They're not passive receptacles. They will be dealing with the media and everything else. They need to be critical consumers. They need to ask questions, interrogate. You understand what I'm saying to you? So these are very, very important. Okay? Right? How many minutes do I have? Minutes. Right. Now, what is also important is this. When you belong to an institution like this New Horizon School, you've got to ask yourself, what is our vision? Right. How do I translate the vision? How can I make sure it permeates all aspects in terms of my relationship with the children, my relationship with the content, my relationship with Allah, my relationship, my relationship, my relationship. Very important. What am I doing? Right. Secondly, very important. You've got to ask yourself, why do organizations fail? What are the reasons why organizations fail? They fail when the vision is fuzzy. It fails when people forget about the vision. It fails when there's no teamwork. It fails when the leaders themselves do not reflect that vision. It fails when teachers themselves or people are not champions of that vision. It fails when there isn't much meetings, motivation, so on and so forth. So it's very, very important you need to do that. And I want to just say this to you in the end. I cannot thank Allah enough that I'm a teacher. When you love what you do, for you to stay awake till midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, marking the books is part of it. It gives you joy. For you to pray for your children, for you to show concern for each one of them, for you, at the time of break, you call one of the students and say, I want to talk to you. I'm worried about you, my boy. Then you are in the right profession. If you hate kids, if you hate self-improvement, you do not like excellence, then I recommend you work in a mortuary. Now I mean it, because you are toxic otherwise. Because remember this, if you influence one child to become a leader, that person can transform the life of people. I remember asking this question when I was in London. I asked him, why do you teach? And one teacher put his hand up. He said, I teach because if there are 20 students in my class or 30 students, I can affect 30 generations of people. So he understands the import of your words. You understand? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Right. So just to summarize. As a teacher or belong to an organization, there is no place for mediocrity. You cannot make the same mistakes. Pursue. You can be the best in the world. Can you be the best in the world?
Yes.
As individuals, can you be the best? Of course. What's holding you back? You know, I don't know if you've seen this video clip. This guy's name is Kyle Maynard. Kyle Maynard, his parents had no idea that when he's going to be born, he'll have no arms and legs. Listen very carefully. The scan never showed that. He was not born with arms and legs. But they treated him like a normal child. Right? The same Kyle Maynard, he's got a gym. He's a wrestling champion. His first 35 fights he lost. Not only that, he drives. He writes. Not only that, he climbed up Mount Kilimanjaro. Not only that, he climbed up also the highest peak in South America. And because he got no arms and legs, he like crawled up. I show it to my people I've been workshop with. Then I ask them, what is your excuse? What is holding you back? Our spirit is aggregated. And we have negative thinking. We sabotage ourselves. We say we are useless. Watch that person. There's many. There's another girl, her name is Jessica Cox. Jessica Cox, also, she's got no arms, but she's got legs. She is a martial arts champion. She is a certified pilot. She writes with her toes. She's a motivational speaker. I show that to people and I say, what's holding you back? So when you walk into the class, when you walk in there, the class, they must say, hey, there's something different about the teacher today. There's a spirit and energy. You understand? Transformation must be immediate, must be excited about it. Understand? And secondly, very importantly, I remember years ago, I was very excited when I heard this. One person was asked, tell me, how do you teach? He said, well, you know, I first tell them what I'm going to tell them, then I tell them, then they tell me what I told them. I liked it at that time. I said, such a boring person. Such a boring person. Your introduction must be dynamic. They say for a speaker, your introduction must be dynamic, your conclusion even more dynamic. The purpose of an introduction is to stimulate interest. To ask them, now, how can I entice, seduce the hearts of the children to listen to this? Now, I'll give you an example. You'll never forget a personal introduction, neither will you forget the conclusion. You'll never also forget when he had a talk there, and he's got something perhaps incompatible, something very creative, right? So, I'm going to give you some words. Right, some words I'm going to give you. Is that okay? And see how many of you can remember. Is that okay? Right? Okay? Are you okay? Right? Don't write down. Yeah, starting there. Don't write down. Naughty, naughty. So naughty. Yeah! I like it. Are you happy to be here?
Yes.
Right? You lie as you. I'm happy to be here. Yeah, now speak sincerely. Say, I'm very happy to be here. Now you're looking depressed. I don't believe you. Anyway, right. I'm going to give you some words, right? Some words. Right? Don't write it down. Okay. Dream. Bedroom. see. Romantic. Kiddos. Abuja. Colorful bedroom. Slippers. Nightgown. Now I'm asking you this. What was the first word I said? Everyone remember that. How many of you would also remember dream because I repeated it?
Slippers.
Which word I repeated? Slippers, you remember. How many of you remember Abuja? Wife, we're not in keeping with that, isn't it? What was the last word?
Nightgown.
See that? Generally speaking, everyone remembers this. And I want you to reflect. The best feedback you get is from your own students. Ask them to do a critique. What would they do differently? Okay. Ask them, do they find your lessons meaningful? They say, no, don't get upset with them. But, right, understand? Okay. Have a sense of humor. Right? You must have a sense of humor. Okay. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just take a photograph with the Nuru in our best. And come send that next to me to get it.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We thank Allah for the opportunity to meet Sheikh Idris Hamisa again. It's been about 6 years since he was here last.
Yes.
But sometimes it feels as if it was no more than about a year or two ago. Fortunately, I think Salah and myself met him again in South Africa just last year. A lot has changed, and that's the world we live in. But one of the things I really appreciate with Idris Hamisa is his deliberate attempt to be close to his audience and to not lose the child in him, to not lose play, to not get too serious about life and treat it as if it's supposed to be boring academics. He brings fun into things, and may God help that fun continue to remain infectious. May we all be people who our students would also say, I like it.
What if you say, I like it?
I like it.
I love it?
I love it.
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw!
So tomorrow, when you go to the class, you tell the students, yeehaw!
Yeehaw!
They might think you've gone off your head, right? But in this,
Alhamdulillah, we come to the end of this presentation. We thank Idris Hamisa for his time. He'll be going back to Abuja today for a program there, and a program that carries on over the weekend. We pray Allah to take him safely, to bless his time there, bless his journey. His wife unfortunately had to undergo surgery. She was supposed to come with him. We pray Allah to continue to give her strength and just bless the entire family. Salu ala Nabi al-Kareem. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Mubarak ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Fil alameen annaka hamidul majid. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiy wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. We pray Allah to continue to bless all of us, bless our knowledge, bless our growth, improve our ability to positively influence the children that are under us, and through that, inshallah, be a positive influence on Nigeria and the world. We pray God to continue to forgive us for our mistakes and lapses, to continue to give us the encouragement and support to make this a part of our way to paradise. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.